Can you bring me my tablet, too? My Bible. You know, when Moses went up the mountain, he came down with two tablets. Somebody pointed out to me recently that, because I was saying it was probably an apple, and then somebody said, that's why he broke the first set. all right, before we get into it, serious without the children prayer time. and blessings, please, if somebody has a blessing, I would love that. But, yeah. Prayer requests? Yes, sir.
I was great last week from my bookkeeper who had melanoma, skin cancer. She had surgery on Thursday, and she came to it. It's an inpatient or outpatient surgery. It was just a scraping. There was a lot of crying and stuff like that, but she came through it fine, and they think they've got it all. So that's a blessing that we prayed for last week.
Oh, nice. What was her name again?
Her name was Debbie.
Debbie.
It still is Debbie.
Thank you for the clarification. All right. Anybody else? It's a smaller group without Dan here. We need twice the participation from all of you. Okay, well, then we'll thank the Lord for this praise report and move on to the lesson. Lord God, thank you for this blessing. Thank you for Debbie, that you got her through and that right now the report is looking good. I ask that you keep this melanoma from coming back, reoccurring, Lord, and that you would take blessing in this happening to her, Lord, that they would walk forward and give you the honor and glory. Lord, this morning, I just ask for myself too, Lord, standing up here this morning for a while, that you would give me calmness and that if there's anything you want to communicate, that you would communicate that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so not all of you guys know, but on Tuesday evenings, there's a group of guys that gets together with Dan, and we kind of, we're trying to learn how to teach, basically do this. And we've been going through Colossians, and with Dan being gone, I'm hoping to give you just an overview of the book of Colossians, maybe an introduction into it, and we might continue with that in the next few weeks as well. Not the introduction, but going a little deeper into it. The book of Colossians was written by Paul and Timothy. Paul had never been to Colossae. He had received reports, and Epaphras may have started the church there. It seems he started it and reported to Paul some of the struggles that they had. Paul at the time appears to have been under house arrest. I mean, he doesn't say that right there, but he was probably under house arrest in Rome at the time. And so, but he knew some characters from around Colossae, and so he's writing it sort of as a response to the reports that he had heard, and is sending a couple of these characters back to Colossae. Hey, can we get that first image just to give you an idea? Paul was in Rome, and right now, it takes about 30 hours to drive. Of course, they couldn't drive, right? But it gives you an idea of the distance to drive to Colossae, doing a quick stop in Laodicea, which is also mentioned in the book a few times. There is a ferry ride included on that 30-hour drive. So, I don't know. It's a super spiritual fact. I hope you remember that. Next slide. So they're pretty close to Laodicea. about 19 minutes away, 19 kilometers. Paul also writes a letter to them, which is not included in our canon, but they are instructed to read the book that is going to Laodicea and also have the Laodiceans read the book that is written, or the letter that's written to Colossae. And so they're probably kind of like sister churches. They know each other a little bit. They have acquaintances. And so Paul kind of includes them together a little bit. Okay, that's good. Thanks. Just to kind of give you a picture of the layout of what's happening. Let's see. So as I said, Epaphras probably started the church in Colossae, since Paul never went there. And Epaphras went and visited Paul in his imprisonment and tells him about some of the struggles that they have. The church was, a lot of the churches, I think, at that time were wrestling kind of with the same issues. That's why we see it in several letters. There's the, you know, what I call the Judaizers that want you to be circumcised to be saved. They want you to observe certain traditions and holidays and the Sabbath day. And there was probably a pretty long list of things that they wanted them to observe in order to be considered a Christian, right? Yeah, Jesus saved you from your sin, but this and this and this. Also, typical struggles that they had and the Colossians had were, since they weren't actually in Israel, they were dealing with polytheism. You know, there's a lot of gods out there. So Jesus is cool. He's one of many, you know, and they kind of wanted to just kind of include him or make him even the best god, but, you know, the best god among other gods. And then, of course, the Gnostics, kind of saying Jesus, God couldn't have been physically here because flesh is evil, and so he was either all spirit or he wasn't fully God, but both could not for them be true at the same time. And then, of course, like all the folks in that time and also in this time and in any time, there were struggles with just the family unit and how to interact with one another and that sort of thing. For them, it included how to deal with slaves, how the slaves ought to interact with their masters. And all of that was included, and some of that is included in the book. Concerning the slave thing, it's kind of interesting. One of the characters being sent back to Colossae with this letter is Onesimus. There are different theories on this, but I think that this may have been the very same trip that a letter was sent to Philemon, Onesimus' master. Onesimus was a runaway slave who had gotten saved, and Paul discipled him and then sent him back with a letter to his master. And we'll get a little bit more into that later when we talk about those sections of Colossians. But I have a feeling that that letter and that interaction that he was going through probably had a lot of influence on his thinking as he wrote about the family structure and then slavery itself. Paul doesn't abolish slavery, but he kind of dismantles its power. Anyway, so I thought we would just real quick go through some of the passages that address these things as part of the overview. On the issues of things like polytheism, Judaism, and Gnosticism, basically the belief systems he's trying to counter. I would like to go to Colossians 2, starting in verse 8. And again, this is just an overview. We're not going to really dig into it, but I just want you to walk away at the end of the today with a general understanding of the book. Starting in verse 8. "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." And you see it there, digging at that Gnosticism. "And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." There he's going at it on the Judaizers, wanting you to be circumcised on the eighth day. "In the removal of the body of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, and having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting in decrees against us, which is hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and worship of the angels, taking his stands on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God." A little side note here in our discussions about this book. This section was kind of interesting because Paul starts his ministry getting a bunch of revelations from God. And in his books, we several times see him say things like, that he was taught by God, not by men, and that sort of thing. And so he takes a lot of stands on visions he has seen. But as we realized real quick, Paul, after he received knowledge from God, after he was taught by God, he spent a lot of time searching out those things first and going to the apostles and seeing what really happened. Am I out here somewhere in left field, you know, having crazy visions? Can we substantiate this? And so he didn't just go out, have a dream, and then go out teaching people. He double-checked to make sure that he wasn't getting a little bit carried away with his own ego. So anyways, continuing on. "If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and serve treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence." And so all the rules and regulations that those around them and the things they want to bring in, they are useless. And so you can see he gets pretty thorough about how he feels about a million rules brought in by anyone that's trying to make you do things outside of the basic gospel and being committed to the Father and Jesus. And then as far as the family order and behavior, including slaves and masters, Corinthians 3, 18 through 22, and then 4:1. "Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And then 4:1, masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. I almost feel bad just leaving it that way, but that's what we're going to do today. And then the main thing that I kind of want to go over part of chapter 1 real quick as well this morning, starting in verse 9. Now, before verse 9, Paul gives the introduction and talks about a few things, but before he sends this letter, and before he writes this letter with Timothy, he's saying that they've been praying for them, and he prays for them. And this is kind of a prayer, and we'll read it. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, their faith in Christ, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, jealously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance in light. And that's the part. So he kind of pushes this prayer at the front of it. And I think that he wanted to start with that. That's his heart towards them as he writes the letter of Colossians. And I think he kind of, that's his goal in the book also, that they would understand who they are in Christ, and that they would walk in a manner worthy. It's hard to walk in a manner worthy if you don't know who you are. When we studied this, we talked about making it a prayer. I think this prayer is very appropriate even for our church, for our group, and pray for everyone. A lot of folks that I know that have struggled with their faith, one of the main reasons is they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know their position in Christ. They don't know that they're loved. And, So, I thought... you guys didn't talk today, so I'm going to be very short. We're going to have a long break. But I wanted to kind of end this morning in sort of the Sunday school class in a prayer, somewhat rewording this. And then we can talk about it a little bit. But let's pray first, and then we'll talk, and then we'll move on. Lord God, in this group, Lord, I just want to pray, and I want to do this straight out of your scriptures, Lord. And I ask that we as a body of Christ, as brothers and sisters, as your people, would be filled with the knowledge of your will and your spiritual wisdom and your understanding, so that we as a body could walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respects, so that we might bear fruit in every good work, that we might increase in your knowledge, strengthened with your power according to your glorious might, so that we might attain all steadfastness and patience, that we might joyously give thanks to you, our Father, because you qualified us to share in the inheritance of your saints in light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This has kind of been a prayer of mine for me and my family as I've been studying this for a few weeks. All right. Any questions on this? Yes, ma'am.
Well, some of us have to do the math.
Oh, thank you.
So if it's a 30-hour car trip.
Yes.
That's a little over 1,800 miles.
Well, a lot of that is a ferry.
It said 2,100 and some miles up there on the map.
Want to bring it back?
So that's like...
Oh, kilometers.
Kilometers, yeah.
Yeah. But that's... Okay, so... Kilometers... times 0.62. So that's over 1,000 miles. Between 1 and 2,000 miles. Mm-hmm. And they did most of that on foot.
Or boat, depending.
Yeah, there was the ferry.
Yeah.
Ooh, just to add to that, the Baja 1000, so like the Baja.
Ah, okay. All right.
That's called walking, that's and so
I'm sure there was a lot of discussion going on as they were traveling.
Yes.
Which were not for me too.
No.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I really appreciate having the overview of the book. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the type of person that reads the kind of the introductions in my Bible, you know, to understand what was going on historically, who wrote it, why, because it helps me remember the book so much more, you know, kind of the chunks of what it's trying to impart to us.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for being there. Yeah.
Thank you. I guess that's it. Enjoy your cookies. I think Dave is going to be teaching next hour. So we look forward to that.